O star of wonder, star of night, guide us on this perfect night, spirit of life and love, as we come together to awaken ourselves to the joy of Christmas, to the miracles of life, the birth of a baby, the rise of the sun once more, the magic of this earth, of Mother Nature herself, the love of one another. This Christmas myth calls us to remember that the ordinary can become extraordinary, to remember that any child, our own children, can become great prophets, teachers, leaders of nations, saviors even, not of souls but of lives, working to end the ills and suffering in our world. So the challenging thing becomes not to look for miracles, but finding where there isn't one. This is our prayer. This Christmas myth reminds us that the tradition of giving gifts symbolizes divinity. When we give, we honor the divine in one another. We acknowledge the common link among us all, the common ancestral blood we all share, the blood that is meant to unite us once and for all. This is our prayer. We pray for peace, that war may end, that all those searching and in need find shelter, comfort, and can begin life anew. We pray for food, that none may go hungry. We pray for forgiveness, that our world may begin to heal. We pray for dignity and worth, respect and love, liberty, justice, and equality for all. This is our prayer. But this prayer alone is insufficient. We pray knowing that this prayer holds the thought in the forefront of our mind. This prayer focuses our energy on the needs of the world. And we know that this prayer also requires action. And with this very prayer, we resolve to act, to seize the moment, to seize our own power. This Christmas myth reminds us that this moment is precious. This moment is holy. This moment is powerful. This moment is love. This moment is full of hope and possibility. This moment is all we need. This is our Christmas prayer on this silent and holy night. Amen. So we've been hearing this ancient story from slightly different perspectives tonight. From a 1985 perspective, from the point of view of the camels. And so I want to look at it from another slightly different perspective. Because I think I've been interpreting the Christmas story all wrong. It's hard not to hear this story at this moment in our world and not think of refugees, especially now. And I want the story to tell us some greater truth about how we treat refugees, about hospitality and welcome, about suffering and miracles, about a night divine. I feel this same great yearning every year, to encounter a new sense of the holy every year. So travel with me to a Galilee far, far away. I had to do it. I had to. Everybody else is doing it. Okay, but really, we're going a little further than Galilee. We're going to the next town over. Perhaps you've heard that common interpretation of the Mary and Joseph story, thinking of Mary and Joseph as something like refugees, displaced and forced to return to a place where they no longer lived, and they were shut out, relegated to a stable to have their baby, and boom, the miracle happens. The ordinary becomes extraordinary, in part because of such ordinary circumstances. Manifesting choirs of angels, beckoning shepherds and kings and visitors of all kinds, hope and love and joy rekindled. And yes, that is all well and good. But I want to go back to the inn. I've been fixated on the inn and the stable a little bit more than usual. The passage from Luke tells us only that there was no place for them at the inn, and the baby was laid in a manger. Well, what if this story really was about hospitality and welcome? A scholarly historical interpretation of the scripture suggests that Joseph was returning to his hometown. He was from the city of David, and he would have enjoyed some elevated status among the villagers, such that it would be an honor to prepare them room and house them for the night. Scholar Kenneth Bailey said the word inn actually meant guest house. It's not the inn that we think of these days with the sort of no vacancy sign hanging out front, go to the next hotel down the road. But rather, the word inn meant guest house, and that it was Palestinian custom of the time to have a separate room in your home specifically for guests. Welcoming guests and not welcoming them would bring shame upon the family, especially if there was a pregnant woman involved. That involved an even higher sense of duty and welcome. And these homes with special spaces for guests also included space for animals, because the villagers would bring their animals in the dark winter nights to keep them safe from theft and to help keep the place warm. And so there were these little cutouts in the floor for the food and water for the animals. These are the things that we now understand to be the stable and the manger. So it's more likely that Mary and Joseph were guests in someone's home. What if the innkeeper was our shining example of the kind of open-hearted, let the light in love we have come to count on from this story? What if the innkeeper prepared for this family in need, prepared the only room he had available in his home to be as comfortable and beautiful and welcoming as possible? And the innkeeper welcomed travelers from all walks of life, hoping to witness something special, something that might stir the seeds of change. This innkeeper made space for a gathered community, coming together for what would be a silent and holy night. And what gifts did he receive as a result? This kind of presence was the humble beginning from which a great prophet would emerge. This is the story that needs telling. The story of Mary and Joe, circa 1985, offers us a similar scenario. The people of the park, presumably the homeless in their own tents, prepared a space of welcome for Mary and Joe out of what they had. They led with generosity and grace and were met with the inescapable joy and love that accompanies the birth of a baby, a miracle every time it happens. Their preparing room shifted their experience from one of individual survival to one of shared meaning and purpose and love, if only for a moment. The traditional Christian telling of the birth of Jesus would have us preparing room for a divine personal Savior, one to whom we pledge our eternal devotion. But as Unitarian Universalists who struggle with a notion of salvation and divinity, we might look to this Christmas story to find insight into how we can become the saviors of lives ourselves, one small act of goodness at a time. And the world is crying out for that goodness. We face the worst humanitarian emergency in the refugee crisis since World War II. Millions and millions of displaced people and families. And the loudest voices are calling for us to shut them out in the name of safety and in the name of fear. Our city struggles with the issue of homelessness while people sleep in tents. And as beautiful as this winter wonderland is, I can't help but think about those experiencing homelessness and how much more difficult it must be to cope with the wet, soggy cold. And there is so much more. Gun violence and racial justice and reproductive rights threatened, equality and health care and child hunger. The world cries out for goodness. And this can be enough to make us all feel helpless in the face of so much need. Where do we even begin? How do we embody the kind of goodness that threatens complacency and evil? How can we possibly hear the angels sing? What if we began like the innkeeper? By preparing room, by making whatever space we have in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, and making it welcoming, beautiful, and comfortable for the guests that might come into our lives. By clearing out the clutter and the chatter and asking ourselves, like the camels did, what gifts are really needed in this moment? Perseverance. Continuing on the hard way. Making do with what there is. Living on what you have inside. Holding up under a burden. The gift of lifting another with grace. In preparing room, we make space not only to encounter the light of love, the light of hope, the light of peace, but to bring it to the world. By our very welcome, we might give ourselves permission to be the maker of miracles. Let others bear the print of who we are and who we can become together. The universe loves you too much to let you remain unchanged by the possibilities of creation. On this silent and holy night, amen. The joy of the season continues and is embodied in our giving. And since 1994, this congregation has dedicated its Christmas Eve offering to the Donna Penley Memorial Scholarship Fund at Whittier Elementary School. It was established in honor of BOOF member Donna Penley, who lost her battle with breast cancer at the young age of 33. Donna was musical and joyful and a member who had great faith that music could be one of those ways we heal a broken world. She feared that her dying might mean she would not be remembered, but her legacy lives on in the gifts of music for children who might otherwise never have the opportunity to play an instrument. Your generosity is greatly appreciated. The offering will now be received. I would like to invite our young adults to come forward with their candles, especially those who might be returning home, visiting from a winter break in college. If I know that you're out there. I see some of you. Bring your candles and come and join us. We want you to help us be our candle lighters this evening. We light our candles, our Christmas Eve candles, a tradition that has been going on for many, many years in churches across the country. We light our candles as a reminder of the spark of the divine that lives in each of us, in all of us, and that we carry that light forward out into the world. As we light our candles, we invite you to join in singing Silent Night. And I'll invite our young adults to light from our Advent candles. Just circle around and make your way through the crowd lighting the candles. The little town of Bethlehem exists all over the world, thronged with people seeking refuge, thronged with people in need of homes, finding their way in an unknown place, seeking welcome, seeking love, seeking hope. Let us prepare them room. Let us rise up and follow the star in the sky whose light is shining for us all. Let us hear the songs of angels, heralding those miracles that await our hands. As we extinguish our lights and the flame of our chalice, let us carry the light divine in our hearts. Let us see the night divine, the love divine, tonight and always. Go in peace.